looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will say that.
Famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And today we have a very special episode of the podcast. It's not your typical Who's There, because we're trying something new.
We don't really like doing new things, but...
No. If any, you've noticed, we've done this for 300 episodes and it's all the same.
We are very lazy and we like sticking with what works. But after we talked about Marianne Williamson, we realized... there are a lot of things that we do not know about things. And we have a lot of friends who are really smart who could tell us about those things.
So why not call on those smart friends to enlighten us about the Who's we are not so well-versed in?
So we're going to have two friends. We'll introduce them in a second. But we wanted to thank Pineapple Street Media, Jenna Weiss-Berman, and her team for letting us use the studio to record this in. So we could look, these friends face-to-face as they told us these things about politics. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was very kind. And just so you know, we are calling this new format of an episode. You know, we have Who's There, we have Who Dat, and this format where we bring in people to explain, you know, sort of...
experts to tell us about the Who's of their field.
We are calling it Says Who.
Says Who.
Says Who.
Because, you know, you tell us things and we say, Says Who. And they're, you know, and you get it.
Says Who, 2020 Democratic Nominees Edition. Let's listen to it now. Thank you again, Claire and Cleo.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Pineapple.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Melissa. Welcome to the first installment of Says Who. We have two guests on today's episode that are going to tell us all about the Democratic candidates for president. This is not a political show, but most of them are Who, so it counts. This is one of the exceptions to the rule.
Well, we had such a good time talking about Marianne Williamson, and we are so ignorant, and we really thought we owed it to you guys. And honestly, I wouldn't blame you if you skip this. You're like, this is traumatic for me. I can't deal with this. But there are some genuinely lol people that...
before you skip it, just make sure to listen to the ads. Skip towards the ads and then listen to them.
Okay. Yeah, listen to the ads. But no, but you know what I mean? I feel like we tend to stay away from politics because we don't know. But if we bring in smart people to tell us the stuff and we learn together, I think we can get through this all together. I think we can get into politics.
We definitely can. But we'll see. Who's to say?
Wait till we get into sports.
You're doing today, your civic duty.
Today on Says Who, we have senior writer at 538, Claire Malone. She also co-hosts the 538 Politics podcast. And then also to her left, we have Cleo Chang, freelance writer. And what, gravy? I didn't understand what gravy was.
I'm baby.
Baby?
I'm baby.
You're baby? You're also going to have to get a little closer to the mic, baby.
I'm baby.
A little better?
Excuse me.
Cleo just did this incredible series of one-minute videos on all of these crazy Democrats that really are amusing and pull out, I would say, the whoiest things about them. So we need Cleo here to kind of share those with us.
Cleo and I are looking at the same, New York Times list of people running for president.
I still don't know.
I guess first I have a question that I feel like I need to know. Why are there so many people? Are there usually this many people? One. Two. Is it just because we're all, it's just like the door was opened and everyone was let in?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, I mean, okay, if you look at like the Federal Elections Commission filings, mm-hmm. like 800 people are running for president. So
incredible.
But you can basically like you can submit a form to the FEC that's like, I'm running for president. But yeah, I mean, like the 24 people, the 24 Democrats, the New York Times is now officially saying are running mm-hmm. for president. I think there are a lot of them running because it's like there's no reason not to run because
what do you have to lose?
Because most everyone's going to lose
the election.
So you're losing. Yeah, you're losing together, right? Only one.
It's like we're all in this together. We want to really play the field, and everyone has a chance to maybe do a thing.
Yes.
You know what I'm realizing this is like? That it took me a long time to have this little aha moment. This is like people figured out that the election process, the United States election process, can be a lot like going on Shark Tank when you don't want to sell. You just want the exposure. You just want to up your sales on Amazon.
Totally.
You have no interest in Mark, Lori, Barbara, Damon, anyone. You just want the notoriety. And sometimes they call it out and they're like, we know you're just here to up your sales. Like,
isn't that what Donald Trump did and then accidentally got elected?
And Ben Carson.
Oh, true.
They're in it for notoriety, probably, most of them. The Who's, a bunch of Who's, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most of them are Who's.
Think about all the people's names you know now that you didn't know before.
I hate that. Which is our show, but I hate it.
But do you know who Steve Bullock is?
No. Who's that?
He's the governor of Montana.
Fuck.
Do you know who?
Do you?
Well, you'll know who this is.
Who?
Seth Moulton is. Bobby, do you know who Seth Moulton is?
Is he a Massachusetts guy?
He is.
Fuck.
No, what does that mean? Seth Moulton, what is that?
This mic sharing is wild, by the way. We're sharing a mic and it's truly cumbersome. Who is he? Wait, who is he?
Seth Moulton looks like he's like if there were a character on The Simpsons that played the politician, that's who Seth Moulton would be. Second row, three in from the left.
Oh, my God. You're right. Where is he from? Oh, my, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
His quote is, I'm running because we have to beat Donald Trump and I want us to beat Donald Trump because I love this country. He's talking in like yearbook speak.
That's right.
Well, so Bobby and I watched the first debate together and I couldn't get over how the guy who was obsessed with climate change looked like Sergeant Bilko. Like,
Jay Inslee.
He is wild looking. And when he talks, you're like, wait, that's what this guy thinks?
I thought he looked like a college football player. He's actually sort of handsome.
He's very traditionally handsome. It looks like he's a bully. He's going to bully me. And then he's like, climate change is everything. And I'm like, oh, this bully is like, loves the environment.
You know who loves Jay Inslee? Josh.
Yeah, he does.
Because he's from Seattle, from Bainbridge. And all of Josh's family, when I was there for Christmas, they were like, I think Inslee's going to run. Like, I'm going to support Inslee. This is when there weren't like 100 people running for president. They were like, you know, I love Jay. No one's going to care, but like, he's the best. All these Seattle people love him.
But I think that there's so many, it's like, you know, like if you're trying to buy like a dress or pants, now your Instagram feed will like, it's like, it's like so many different like boutique dresses and pants and like everyone has their own thing instead of everyone used to shop at like Gap or J. Crew if they wanted pants. I think that's what it is. Everyone from Washington State is like, Jay Inslee will save us all. And like, I'm from Ohio, so everyone's like, Tim Ryan's a cool guy,
oh,
right?
God,
like,
he's...
I love Bill de Blasio.
Yeah.
The tallest man on earth.
He's so tall.
So I just think it's like, it's the internet age and everyone can like...
Yeah, it really does maybe speak to the time we're in which we have too many options and we do not have enough time to learn all of the options correctly. So we're just going to choose like the easiest one. And we don't want to talk about the people who probably will win. We want to talk about people who definitely won't win.
Yes.
So who are the most, for you guys, who are the most fun? Who are the most wacky? Who's wacky? Who's a who?
Well, okay, this is a question that I've actually really long wanted you guys to answer.
Uh-oh.
Is Bill de Blasio a who or a them?
I think he's a them. I think being the mayor of New York puts you on like the national stage in a way that most mayorships do not. And I think just because he's the mayor of New York makes him a them.
Is Dante a who or a them?
He's a who, but
and
he's, yeah.
Yes, he is running for president.
Dante's New York them, Bill de Blasio's national them.
Yeah. That's
but
fair.
But New York who?
Yes.
But in New York, who? Because we all hate him. Do people outside New York think that he's cool? I'll never know. Like, that's the funniest thing to me is, like, it's wild that he's running for president.
He's tall, though, and height really does get you a lot of points. I feel like national, like, you know, a lot of baby boomers might be watching the debate and be like, I like that tall, strapping New Yorker. I feel like I can trust him. Although, yikes, that's what happened last time.
One of my grandmothers used to say that she voted for George W. Bush the first time. Well, maybe the second time,
too. Because he was handsome?
Because he was handsome.
Handsome.
She said he was handsome. And I think, but like, I don't know, maybe there are worse.
There's definitely more handsome candidates.
Who's the hottest candidate?
There are no genders here. Like, across gender lines, who is the hottest candidate?
Hold on, I'm looking. Cory Booker is hot. Cory Booker's hot. He is. I'm sorry. He's hot. Gives us hot energy. He's hot. He gives off hot energy. He does.
Dating Rosario Dawson, but that's hot.
I mean, air quotes dating Rosario Dawson.
Oh, wow. That's rude. He's hot. Beto hot. Sorry.
Oh, Beto's hot.
He's hot. Sure. He's hot. Who else? That's it. I don't know. Who else is hot? He's not hot. Castro, cutie.
Yeah.
He's a cutie. He's a cutie.
Like, Pete and Castro are cuties. I wouldn't call them hot.
And also, Tulsi gives off very powerful, hot vibes.
So do you think Castro is a who? Because he's actually one of my, like...
To me, I'm from San Antonio.
Right.
So to me, he's a them.
Because he has a very hooey plot line this campaign season.
Yes.
Because, so Julian Castro, former Secretary of Housing under Obama, is a twin.
Yeah.
Right? And his twin is a congressman, Joaquin. Mm-hmm. And he is a current congressman. Okay, and he's the campaign chair of his brother's campaign. People keep on getting them confused.
That's going to happen.
But it's like such a... it happened...
Classic twin shit.
It happened, like, CNN, right after the debates happened, they tweeted out, like, the wrong twin being on the debate stage.
Well, because they're both in politics, and do they look alike?
But, they look alike. They're that kind of twin. Morning Joe, Joaquin, the one who wasn't running for president, was on a live TV interview with Morning Joe, and the interviewer thought he was... Julian.
Morning Joe, you fucking idiot.
Everyone on Morning Joe's really dumb.
So I think
that's alike. They look alike.
There is an article about how to tell the twins apart. So it's like one of them has a mole.
This is like me with the fucking
Has a mole near his mouth, apparently. Okay. Also, Julian has a more oval face. Joaquin has a rounder one.
The hooey information about Castro is that he's a twin is good. Like,
yeah.
He literally has a brother, a twin who looks just like him, who's in politics. And do you think that's going to make it hard for people to elect him?
Well, he did really well.
He did really well in
Bobby,
the
debates.
Bobby,
what did you think of that?
I was hometown hero. I was really proud. Because I was when he went up, I was like, oh, it's cute that he's trying.
It was like a Texas showdown.
But then he immediately kind of wiped the floor with Beto.
Yeah.
And it was great because he was like Beto's out here throwing out three words of Spanish and what am I supposed to be impressed?
Yeah.
And then he had more to say. Like Beto was trying for stunts. Julian was trying for substance. I was proud of him. And my parents were both really impressed by him. And I think that that's a big tell too.
Yeah.
Old people being like, Julian.
Yeah. But I bet their campaign has had discussions about how to handle the twin thing. It's like the farce that, I knew these guys who were twins who walked the stage for each other at their different colleges when
they
graduated.
Funny.
But what if that happened on the presidential debate stage, right?
You can pull a Dave, a film, the film Dave, where Dave, the president has a stroke or something. And so they replace him with an impersonator. So if something happens to Julian, just bring on Joaquin.
It's a strong case.
We need
for them.
You're electing two.
You're
is
electing
what you're
two.
Doing.
If something happens,
they're both. It's not like the other brother is like the other Hemsworth, who like God knows what he does. Like they're both political. The third one. Yeah, they're both political.
Jonas.
Yes.
I watched that documentary.
What's it called? Here Comes Happiness. What's it called?
I cried. It was rough. Like Kevin. Is Kevin the oldest one who they basically were like?
He's the one whose wife lives Long Island with his wife, Danielle Jonas, who sells pork. Everyone here knows this on this podcast. Okay, I love this. Who's next?
All right. Well, my favorite is John Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper.
Why? Okay, so first of all,
name. Great name.
Two Johns. John Hickenlooper.
Who else?
John Delaney.
Oh, yeah.
But
whose name sounds like a name.
My friend Katie just texted me and said, Tim Ryan's middle name is John. So there's actually three Johns running for president.
There are a lot of white men.
How are you
going to
tell them apart?
I will not vote for a John.
That's a good stance.
If there's a John, I'm going to vote for some. I'm writing it myself.
I said this.
And you're not a John.
I'm
so
not
it's
a John.
Safe.
No.
John Hickenlooper is the governor of, or former governor of Colorado.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I actually mentioned him in when you guys emailed me about doing this.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is useless knowledge that Galen Druk, the producer of my podcast, has come up with, but John Hickenlooper looks like the actor Dylan Baker. You don't know him by his name
from to Nip Tuck.
But he always plays like the serial killer type.
Yeah, he does.
Like he's on
wait, no, he's
the
not
good, he's on The Good Wife, and he's like a recurring character who's really wealthy, and he like probably killed family members.
I gotta say, Dylan Baker looks like every
president. He's on The Americans.
He's like he's running for president.
He's running.
Well.
He must be running.
Anyway, he and John Hickenlooper look an awful lot alike.
Yeah, and
he, like on The Americans, he's the guy. He's like the sleeper agent.
Do you think that if you are a candidate and you look like a famous person, does that help or hurt you?
I think because many famous people are hot.
Yes,
it helps you.
Great answer, Cleo. Great answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
So it helps you because you're hot.
So I'm looking at these names, and a lot of them.
Great.
I'm looking at these names, and a lot of them, like I remember, like Gabbard. Remember her from the stage?
Tulsi, honey.
Tulsi's got some weird things.
She's got some baggage, right? She's got some baggage. She has some like weird anti-gay baggage as well. Weird. But there were some people on here who I don't think was this person Sestak? Was he on the stage?
Joe Sestak.
What's
no.
his deal?
Joe Sestak got into the race, I want to say, like 10 days ago.
Okay. Uh-oh.
He's a former congressman, and that's like all I know about him, which doesn't say good things. Okay. He was like I believe he was in the Navy for a very long time.
Okay.
I tweeted about him because he just like had like a really good both appearances that he made. He had these like beautiful summer like blue button down shirts on, but then like camp bracelets, you know, like when you
like weaved friendship bracelets, like he has a lot of friends.
Yeah,
because if so, amazing.
Yes,
I like a candidate with a lot of friends.
I gotta look up the picture, but like yeah, like that's basically the most I know about Joe Sestak.
Incredible. You gotta stand out.
I want to talk about like fun facts because I feel like there are some good like 20 things to know about all these people that have yet to be written. Honestly, let's focus on Williamson and Yang because they sound like they're a lot of fun.
So Yang is, okay, Andrew Yang is a businessman who lives in New York City, who is another single issue candidate. He's running on universal basic income, which basically means like the government gives you a certain amount of money because his theory is like, automation is going to take all of your jobs.
Right. Who are them? Universal basic income. Who are them?
Fuck you.
Who?
Who? For sure.
Definitely
for sure.
Who. For
sure. Job guarantee.
Total
maybe
who.
Them.
Like, how do you make that? Do other countries have that? Countries have that. Do other
what? Universal basic
yeah.
income? I don't think so.
Oh, wow. Definitely.
Other countries have like experimented with it to prove that it's possible.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone has like a...
But currently it's a who.
It's a who.
But wanting to just give people money is hooey. Like being coming out here and being like, I'm rich, I'm going to give you all money is hooey. Because I heard that This American Life episode where they like fall around Julian, which was really actually quite good for him because it's like all the liberals now know that he's like trying his best. Anyways, they talk about Yang like going door to door, giving people $12,000 to vote for him or whatever.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is wild. What I think is even more wild is that like when he had his chance on the debate stage, like he didn't get that many questions, but when... The moderator just said to him, why do you want to be president? His response was, sorry?
Honestly, you should be sorry.
I would say Andrew Yang has the most annoying emails. Like they're
I don't get them.
Constant
oh, you get them.
Flooded. Yeah. And like, I remember one of them. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, going to be the first Asian man on the debate stage. And I was like, oh, no.
And you're Asian.
Yeah.
That's probably why I guess
be for you.
You're like, no, I don't want him up there.
I think he's kind of boring, though.
But
I mean,
do
like, he's
like
not, he's
somebody
not...
who has one issue that I can very clearly understand, and that's
sure.
their main thing. Like, that is going to set him apart from other people, you know? Like, it is important to have that one thing.
It's a good talking point, too.
It really is. And isn't your job up there to convince other people to also get on
board
with your issue?
I wouldn't call him, like, socially at ease, though.
Okay.
do you know? Or that's my impression of him thus far.
Relatable, to be honest.
Is that, like... He has a very interesting idea, like single issue platform, but I don't think he's not a great communicator. And you could say someone like Beto has like relied too much on the communication and like not enough on the substance. Mm-hmm. So like there's two sides to every coin. But
what do you think the hooiest thing Beto has done so far is? Because he's done a lot of Demi stuff.
Oh my God,
like
the Live Journal.
Fair.
Because like everyone needs an editor, right?
So true.
And especially when you're in an emotional period of your life, right? Like, and I would encourage people to journal. I journal, but I would encourage people to not live journal.
Do you think that, like, it's kind of the sign, though, of like a new generation of politician? I mean, he, like, that you would have a live journal. Like, you know, there are definitely going to be people coming up running in politics who are going to have things like live journals, Tumblrs, all these things that people have that we're going to find. Speaking of, I want to move on to someone who is not on this list, but who I have questions about, who I'm very intrigued by. Speaking of a young person campaign, Mike Gravel, who just got enough to get somewhere. I gave him a dollar.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm very amused by his campaign.
I don't know who this is. What is Mike Gravel?
Did you read this piece?
No.
Our friend Jamie wrote this incredible piece for New York Times Magazine about this guy named Mike Gravel, who is a retired senator, who is arguably good, did some good things in his long career, and now is running for president with a campaign run by two
teens.
Trolls. Yes.
Yeah. Lindsay, by the way, Massachusetts native.
Yeah. No, I see. These teens are very convincing, and I'm going to compare, like, to Beto having, like, lame internet past.
Yeah.
This is, like, the maybe cooler way or more interesting, more compelling way to break out of the pack with the internet.
Weekend at Bernie.
Yeah. Totally.
With memes.
He really is Weekend at Bernie running for president.
Yeah, he's 80.
Not that Bernie, the other 80, Bernie.
Yeah.
He's the other close to dead too. Bernie. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
He's 89?
He's 89.
Okay. But he's kind of cool.
He lives in Alaska. He was like an anti-war activist for a really long time.
He did Watergate stuff.
Yeah, he
was. You put sunglasses on him, he could be the president.
Yeah, Gravel like leaked, or not, he was one of the people that helped like get the Pentagon Papers out. So he has like a very staunch.
That's what I'm saying. They found this kind of figurehead.
But he was also, so I think the teens know him from, by the way, those kids are going to be a trip in college. Imagine your college poli-sci like intro
incredible.
Class with
you've
the
already
two...
done it all. They were at the debates in the audience heckling, essentially, on Twitter. But they were heckling.
No, but Gravel ran in 2000. He was in the 2007-2008 Democratic primary. And he also got up in the debate stage and spent the whole time calling all the other Democrats warmongers.
Fair.
Which, so I think that that's probably...
he loves peace. His main thing is peace.
Loves
that's
peace.
That's his issue, is peace.
It's peace,
he's
truly.
Do you know about the campaign video? The Rock?
Yeah.
No.
So it's basically performance art. It's like, in my memory, it's like an 8-minute long video. And he like throws a rock in a river and just kind of like stands there at the end. And it's never explained why he's throwing the rock.
Peace.
Why he's throwing the
peace.
Rock. But in this current, so like they re-upped the Rock concept in this year's ad. But they explain it that the rock is meant to be like the ripples of change. So Mike Gravel, a big piece of gravel, I guess, aka rock.
I was going to say, is the gravel thing, is that the symbolism there?
That's like kind of where my mind
went.
And he's
causing the ripples
of
change.
He's causing the ripples.
But your example of the Shark Tank analogy to this Democratic thing, this is a pure example of that. This guy is... they are running to
nothing
push
others.
People, yes, to push buttons, to get other candidates to like be alive, to like say things, to be interesting.
Totally.
Their goal is to like get him on the debate stage. Yeah. That was their goal.
A question I have for the two of you. I feel like when it comes to politics, correct me if I'm wrong, there's 20-something people who are currently in the running to be America's next top Democratic candidate, right? And only maybe 5 of them actually have a shot. Uh-huh. Is that probably true?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's like less. Biden, Harris, Warren, Sanders, Booker,
I think maybe.
Buttigieg, maybe. Okay, so 6. Let's say 6-7.
Yeah.
That's many, many fewer than 25. Of those remaining people, currently all who's, which of those do you think can turn this platform that they have? Because they obviously really don't have any intention of becoming president. Which of those people do you think will become future thems? Because I think that that is the goal of a lot of these people. Not necessarily to become president, but to become a them.
Mm-hmm. Like personalities.
I mean, Marianne Williamson was a past them, I think.
True.
Current who.
It's going to bring you back to them.
Future
them, right? She'll sell more books.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah.
Did you guys... I did not really like... know who she was.
I didn't either, but if I feel like if you were paying attention to celebrity shit in the 80s and early 90s, like she was up there,
yeah,
like a guru. Or and if you were a big Oprah head, you would know of her too.
Yeah.
Like she very much influenced the way that Oprah speaks, which is so fascinating about her, is that she's kind of creating the groundwork for like this weird, because she's like Jewish, but she's speaking about like Christianity. It's like very interesting. It's like spiritualism, early spiritualism. But I think that she is running for president to be relevant and to have relevancy continue forward, obviously. Right?
Yeah.
She's one.
I mean, there's a lot of that, like some of the people who are, like Amy Klobuchar is probably not going to win. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's probably in that top tier of people. But like now people know who she is and Well, some people do. So
they at least know that she ate a salad with a comb. I think that's like the main thing people know.
And dropped her underpants on the plane.
Oh, yeah. She dropped her underpants.
I mean, the thing with running for president, it's like you take a chance. You could become known for something cool and continue and have a really good career. And this really helped you bump you up quick. This is time. You're like skipping a lot of years of hard work.
But it's also, you know, for some people, like, okay, Kirsten Gillibrand, maybe them with who tendencies in this election, right?
I think so, yeah.
Because she was like, she's a U.S. senator. She was like super talked up. She was really big in the Me Too movement. And now she's like, you know, she's like not.
It's very who.
Yeah. Yeah. She's also has like an interesting, a lot of her like Instagram ads are her playing like beer pong or like going to like, she's done a lot of like bartending at gay bars. So she also has this interesting like
AOC effect sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, she's cool. She's normal. She like, she goes to bars.
She goes to the gym.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
like a big thing.
She's a lot of work. Yeah. Lots of workout stuff.
She works out.
Uh-huh. Yes.
What?
Well, it's like, how do you visit Iowa and stay in shape? You go to,
she's like meeting constituents at the gym. Is that like the thing? Or she's just like, I'm working out.
I bookmarked on my Instagram page her working at this, like, it was like a tire workout in Iowa. She was like doing push-ups on tires and presumably probably flipping them later.
Are they trying to like one-up? Are they trying to one-up Elizabeth Warren? Like Elizabeth Warren's like, I'm going to call people. And she's like, I'm going to go to the gym.
Honestly, that
I would say if someone came up to me at the gym and like pitched their campaign to me, I would be so offended.
It's literally the worst place to talk to anyone, meet anyone, hear anything, learn anything.
Hate talking to people.
What's worse, the doctor's office? What's worse? There's no worse. Mm-mm. The morgue?
What are the sorts of, are there any like funny little quirks that you've noticed trying to be pushed to make them more human, like to humanize these utter robots? Like all of these people are robots, right? Like none of them are relatable.
Yeah.
Right? So like,
oh my God, that's such a good question. Like, yeah, because you're right. Like the Harris Cooks thing is big.
And Harris works.
Gillibrand goes to bars and works out.
Cory Booker's like, I go like shovel sidewalks, right? Like I go door to door.
The Booker like veganism thing is like a lightweight, like I think that is his hobby. Like I think his taking care of his body is his hobby.
Is anyone else even? I feel like a lot of the other people are too old to have traits. Like doesn't it come to a point where it's like you're too old to like have a cute little trait because you're so stuck in your
None of them do. I mean, like Martin O'Malley, who of the 2016 election, he's not running this election.
Okay. I was like, where he?
But his whole thing was he had a band.
I remember that.
Exactly. Okay. So he had a band. I guess Beto has the band. He has like the band and like he skateboards.
Oh, he skateboards.
Warren has the dog.
Warren's dog.
Beautiful dog.
Oh, yeah, that's a
like a golden retriever. Yeah.
Okay. Sort of a sidestep from that, an important part of any candidate, for better or worse, but mostly for worse, is that their other half, their partner, typically their spouse, becomes a them. Immediately ascends to them status the moment that person is like a top nominee, right?
Right.
Any of these candidates, whenever they win, their spouses is going to become a them. Which of those spouses would be the best them?
Rosario Dawson, who already like has one.
Yeah,
Rosario Dawson is already like a famous person. That's wild that he's like, I'm already dating one. Don't worry.
Maybe she's becoming not counting more Rosario. Of who dating him.
Oh, she definitely is for sure. Oh, for sure.
Is it Chasten?
For sure.
Is it Chasten?
Chasten is like, he'd be into it, right? Like he'd be.
Oh my God! Yeah, he's like young. He's in his 20s, right?
He's currently how old is he?
Maybe he's just 30. But he's young. He's younger than Pete.
But he's very comfortable online.
Oh, he's very the online. One who was like, Pete has her Joanne and loves it. Remember that? Like the 2 weekly trolls that were like, Chasten has Pete heard Joanne? What does he think? Chasten's like, yes, he loves Joanne. Who else?
What about O'Rourke's Amy? Amy O'Rourke?
Amy O'Rourke. But Amy seems private.
She just keeps being left behind.
You can't
take
be
care
private.
Of the kids.
You can't. It doesn't
you can't.
Work.
Like she, I'm trying to think. She'd be like, Laura, she has Laura Bush energy.
Mm, oh, okay, yeah, I see that. She's gonna be like, she's gonna start a thing where it's like,
she's a reader.
Let's read. Let's read.
Jill Biden. How do we? Is Jill what? Biden? What's Biden?
Jill Biden's also a reader. She's an English professor.
She's already been there.
I know, but like so that makes her already kind of something that people know. Like I couldn't even name half their spouses. Is what
well,
I'm saying.
You know,
I know
Harris's husband is like an LA media lawyer. Like he's like an entertainment.
Oh, that's
lawyer.
Fun. Yeah, that's really fun.
And also he's also got a Twitter feed. Not as like paid attention to, but he's very support, like demonstrably supportive.
Are
spouse
any of them
kind
single?
Of
Shirlane.
Oh, Shirlane, yes. Shirlane. Well, she's already like the first lady of New York. She's like, she's got experience.
She would kill it.
People like her more than they like Bill, which is like what you want in a spouse.
Exactly what you need.
You want that. And that's what Chastain has. I mean, that's what Pete has in Chastain.
That's true, because like the Michelle Obama thing, it's like, if anything, we're coming out loving Michelle more. Like, you know, everyone's kind of pointing at all these bad things that Obama did. Don't forget. But like Michelle just sailing right through that. Like her garden is still
like, look at my garden.
Hopefully it's still alive. Like TV.
My garden didn't kill anyone, guys. My garden didn't kill anyone.
Gillibrand's husband, British.
Fun. Sort of like a Trojan horse. That's kind of fun.
British.
Who else is fun? Wait.
Sanders' wife would be maybe troublesome. She ran a school in Vermont and things didn't end well. So.
Oh no.
A college.
Oh no.
We haven't talked about Sanders yet. He is a them for
very,
sure.
Very them-y.
But I feel like maybe he's gotten a little hooier in this particular election, just because I always feel like it's like there's more if the more time you're in the public, the more time there is for people to find stuff about you they do not like. Mm-hmm. Last time he didn't have as much time, people really liked him, he got his point out and people were like, love him. Now there's a little bit more time, people are kind of nitpicking about him. But did you see today Cardi B tweeted pro Sanders?
Oh,
heavy pro Sanders,
but she's
I gotta
always
pull
been
it
pro Sanders,
but like she tweeted a very forceful tweet in
Cardi
pro
loves
Sanders.
Politics.
She does, which is like, I think that could get a lot of people. I'm not even joking. Mm-hmm. I'm not being like. Mm-hmm.
Sanders is interesting because he was a who for so long.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the analogy of like a famous person who really wanted to get famous, but then is like pissed off that they're famous and like he's not uncomfortable with fame, but he doesn't want you to know stuff about his life. You know what I mean? Like.
Which I kind of respect, and that makes you feel even more real, because that almost
that's
relatable.
Right. It's like strictly business. Like there's professional Bernie and private Bernie is.
He's not pandering like a lot of people are. I love cooking. I love reading Bon Appetit. Like he doesn't need to do
that. I have no hobbies. My only hobbies are politics.
Yeah, it's democratic socialism.
He doesn't have much energy. He's saving his energy with what he has. You know, he's old.
Marianne Williamson, I don't think she's married, but she's going to have Manon from The Craft as her spouse. She's gonna call the corners.
Manon.
She's gonna
have Manon. Manon is gonna be Marianne Williamson's spouse.
Yes, Manon is gonna be like Manon's gonna be present, around, gonna be able to fix everything, gonna be around.
Wait, can I ask a
the
famous
first spirit?
Can I ask a famous spouse question?
Yeah.
If Cory Booker starts to do really well and like looks like the nominee, what does he do?
He keeps Rosario.
But like, does he propose to her?
Yes.
Does he? Yes.
You have to, right?
During the campaign?
Yeah, you have to. I think so. I think you have to propose.
What
you
if
have
she says
to
no?
There is press, because like John Ossoff.
Yes.
And you plan
proposed
the wedding.
Proposed right
guess
before
when you plan
the
wedding.
Election.
October 2020. Talk about a surprise.
Oh, that would be so good.
Simulcast
actually.
On ABC.
Wait,
live
actually,
event.
That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. What? That would be an amazing
ploy. Hey, we've had so many movie, single president.
Yes.
Or dating president is a weird place for us to go. We've had so many movies that have like guessed at this, what it would be like. It's never turns out good.
You know that like the Democrats are like in a bunker somewhere and they're like, this is our path to entry. Like they have all these paths, but it's like, this isn't, I mean, I'm thrilled that you brought this up because now I'm thinking about it. This is like a great path because you have a wedding. You have a wedding. This happens. This literally happens in the Birdcage. When they're like, you know what will get rid of our bad press? A wedding.
But that's a good analogy of like the wedding is distraction.
Rosario Dawson gets engaged to Cory Booker. They have a wedding, October 2020.
Where?
He wins.
Where's the wedding?
Newark. It's got to be in Newark.
It's got to be in Newark. It's got to be like his house in his backyard.
No, City Hall. Downtown, City Hall, Newark.
Oh, yeah. She can wear vintage Chanel.
They seem
airport. They invite all the, it's open to the public.
Open
all
to the public.
City's residents can come.
Everyone can come. Maybe
Black
it's at
party.
The airport.
This is how they're going to win. This is how we beat Trump. This is how we beat Trump. Cory Booker, give him your money. He can propose to Rosario. And then Rosario will be first
terrible
lady.
Conclusion for this podcast. <We're not political. laughs>
I mean, it's either Cory Booker or Marianne Williamson and Manon. Also fun.
I love to do an ad for a podcast hosted by a who we have literally talked about on the show.
Love that. I love that. I absolutely love that. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. We're going to talk about a new podcast called Jocular, hosted by none other than ER Fightmaster, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, they're best friends, and they're obsessed with women's sports. Like a lot of you, I'm sure. They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women forward in the world of sports. And in every episode, they're going to cover the latest games, they're going to debate pressing issues, and they're going to review how they're really horny for basically everyone in the game. You know, you love to see it. Just be honest about it.
You literally love to see it. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping.
So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts right now. I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago.
Oh,
and
God,
I got complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented. And I was like, well, they're spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I won't name, but
this
if you love
Texas.
This album, you're gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas, you know? This ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience. It's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
What about vow renewal? What about another candidate vow renewal? Who would have a good vow renewal?
Bernie could do a vow renewal. We need an event. We need an event of the season.
Warren. Well, we were talking about this, I think, before we turned on the mics, but Warren recently tweeted out a photo of her on her wedding day. Mm. Great dress, good
it's
hair.
It's really like,
it's like good vintage photos.
I love the strategy, and I don't mean this in a negative way, I mean it's a positive way. It's like, these people are older, we only see them one way, but they were once young like us. They were once young and hot. Remember, we talked about being hot like us. And everyone was hot.
Joe is incredibly hunky. Joe Biden,
right.
You could criticize him all day, but hunk.
So you gotta tweet out those photos of you hot to remind everyone that you were once hot, because everybody was once hot.
Do you remember Tim Kaine when he
we were like
old photos of him
so hot? And I'm not even being like it's not discriminating against hot people, because everybody has photos in which they were once hot.
And the thing is, if you are now old, you could be. It doesn't matter what you looked like when you were 25.
You're hot.
You are comparatively hot.
Yes, it's
like
true.
Bernie Sanders. Hot at 25.
Like, someone made the point on one of the, like, Mother's Day or Father's Day, where they were like, everyone just like Instagrams a picture of their parents when they're young. Yeah, when they were hot. But like, by proxy, it's you being like, look how hot my jeans are.
And this is our election. Photos of hot people back in time.
This is the path to victory. You post hot photos of yourself when you were young.
Your hot girl summer.
Hot girl summer.
1932.
You renew your vows.
The new deal.
But I think even, like, we didn't mention Biden, Joe, and Jill. Their vow renewal would be really intense because they have all of that family tragedy that would be, like, very sad to be incredibly sweet. They have, like, very, like, their family life and their relationship has been so public for so long that to see those vow renewals would pop them up in the polls.
Can I ask you guys just a quick change about a recent politics who's not running, but a politics like who to them situation, AOC, who is kind of the undercurrent of this conversation that we're having always. She's always mentioned. She's always there. Yeah. She's always peeking. Like, she's always like, guys, like, she in a good way.
She's like,
yeah. What do you guys feel about her influence on these Democrats? Like, is she pushing them? Is her very strong them energy helping some of these who's? Yeah, the strongest them energy, you know?
She's an acronym. That's huge. She's AOC. That's big.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's actually she has a lot of power. There's actually a Warren Bernie like kind of proxy war for her for endorsement. Her
yeah.
And during the New York just had like a district attorney race, and like she had a candidate in it, and Warren and Bernie both went out of their way to like endorse this woman that AOC had endorsed. So there's like a lot of interesting stuff. Like she definitely, and she said like, I want to endorse when it matters. So
she,
like,
yeah, she was on Colbert after the, she was on Colbert after the, he had her on after the debates, the first one. And he tried to get her, he was like joking, flirting with her, joking with her about her, her, nom, her,
yeah. So she wants, she wants to get in there and be like, before, like while there's still a lot of people, she wants to like endorse.
Who do you, like, do you have a suspicion of like who she might endorse? Like, do you have like a,
it's hard to say. Guess. I mean, like, you know, Bernie had this like affiliated political organization after the 2016 election, and they didn't endorse her. They didn't like catch her. And but like she was a big Bernie supporter, but she's also done some like promotional stuff with Warren, like videos and stuff, and like co-sponsoring some bills. So honestly, I don't. It really is. I mean,
that's
like
exciting.
It is kind of. It's a totally, it's totally interesting. She's, I think, been pretty smart about wielding the power. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like she's playing the young person's like social media game like really, really well in this. Yeah.
I just want to add that I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that when they polled New Yorkers about who they would want as president, AOC beat Bill de Blasio, even though she's legally not allowed to run.
I love that this is the Bill de Blasio corner over here. Good, she should beat Bill de Blasio.
But when she turns 35, like, you know, 30 is supposed to be your big birthday party, but like when she turns 35 it'll be like a presidential themed birthday party, right? Like if you're her friends.
If Beto decides to drop out, aren't there like weird state by state laws? Can Beto run for Senate again?
He could still do it. Like he could still, and that was like, he was choosing, because as you know, Bobby, there's like another big Texas Senate election coming up.
As you know. Do you?
Yeah. And I think some people were kind of like, well, why doesn't he run for Senate again? And I think technically he could still like drop out and say, I'm going to try this again. Although like then you kind of get into, he didn't win the 2018 race. He didn't win. He had to drop out of the 2020 mm-hmm. presidential race. Now are we going to have him, what if he, you know, runs and loses again in 20? In the Senate race, like then you kind of get into the, like,
I gotta say, the person who has the most to gain from this entire fucking thing is Buttigieg. He's just a fucking mayor.
Sure. It's yeah, for sure.
Literally
in a red state
came out of nowhere. Literally made his husband famous.
And also he did the whole thing by hiring a good PR person. That's peak who them dumps.
Oh my gosh, totally.
I mean, he tried to become head of the DNC. And he lost so quickly. I mean, he like just backed out immediately, and like that. Nope.
So this is like
and
a
now,
huge.
Look at him now.
Look at him now. And and he took a chance whether he was going to get that small chance that was like all going to backfire. But it turned out that it was all worth it in the end.
Ultimately. Can we talk about? Wait, but Liz Smith, his PR person. Do you guys know this? That Liz Smith. This is great tabloid stuff, or it was very heavily covered by the tabloids. Dated Elliot Spitzer.
Oh yeah.
So she was like, she was kind of like a Page Six figure for a while.
A huge figure.
They like, I kind of feel bad for them. They like photograph, they like follow them to the Bahamas.
Elliot Spitzer and Liz Smith. Yeah, I mean, it's. Yeah.
I mean, you're right. This is the unspoken, the unsaid thing so far. The Pete Buttigieg has already done who to them. It's already happened.
It's already happened.
Mm-hmm. And I think like when it's, like people, we keep talking about like, oh, Beto's, we're all going to forget who Beto is when this is all over. Like Beto who? And the same can be said with all these people. Like Marianne will have her moment. Gabber will have her moment. All these people. But it's like Buttigieg seems like he has infiltrated culture in a way that so many of them have not.
He also, because he's just like mayor, he can, even though he like kind of skipped a bunch of things, now he can kind of go back to start again with like this higher profile and make his way up.
It's like who's like in the, if you were going to do a movie about any of these people, it would be about like Buttigieg because it has the best.
Bad movie. I'm sorry. Bad movie.
Who would play Buttigieg?
Let's let Claire finish her thought.
No, I don't have a thought. I was gonna ask who you'd want to see. Did you guys ever watch the documentary Mitt?
Oh, my God, yeah.
So Mitt is this documentary that I actually thought was pretty good, and it followed. It came out a couple years after he ran for president.
And the family's like, "Don't do this again, Dad."
Yeah. But they got super great access because they were like, "Well, we're not gonna. This isn't gonna come out until after the election's over." Blah blah blah. But you get all the like inside juice of his sons being like, I hate this.
This is the worst.
This is the worst. I hate going out there and lying about how I'm feeling good about this stuff. Whose campaign right now, like, whose documentary would you want to see 2 years from now about, like, what it was really like?
I think the Beto question. Campaign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Because didn't they get all those Obama people and then the Obama people were like, bye-bye. Like, didn't they leave?
His campaign manager is an Obama woman and she's okay. still
but
she's
just
still
also
there.
The concept of, like, being in the country loving you, everyone loving you, and then all of a sudden we're being mm-hmm. like, wait, we don't love you anymore. And just that quick turn, very stressful, very interesting, very compelling. I would watch that. Oh, also the funny thing about Mitt Romney is, as a Massachusetts person, the only really thing I remember about his campaign was his hot sons jumping up a dock into the lake. Do you remember that?
I remember them sledding.
There was a campaign in which, like, a commercial where they were like, he was like, and my sons, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, they ran off a dock and they jumped
Wait,
in
really?
The water. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah. Whoever the fuck they were, you know?
Wait, you should call, they have good names. You should call them by their names.
Tag.
Tag, rag. Dag
and bag
and tag Matt Craig Ben Josh.
That's not a joke, Cleo. You're being serious. Those are the names of the sons.
The only that's okay great. Of all of them, they're all obviously who's, but if any of them were to be a them, it'd be Tag, right?
Yes,
yeah,
that's the name. That's the name that works. I think Claire's crying.
I automatically think of, like, Skin Tag, you know, like that's
oh,
just
no. I was thinking
but
of
it
the Jeremy Renner film Tag.
Tag.
I think the documentary I want to see is Buttigieg, just because he literally came out of nowhere, and and Chasten would be a like, Chasten loves the camera. Klobuchar is also kind of interesting to me, just because, like, how she announced, like, during some snowstorm, like, I can just see her going into fits of rage a lot based on what we know about
right,
her.
Yeah,
would be
reporting.
Really entertaining.
I kind of think Klobuchar is maybe the person who shouldn't have run, because so much bad stuff has come up about her.
Yeah,
like, does she have a better reputation now or a worse one? It's hard to say,
but people don't seem to care.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, they don't seem to.
We did a show in her hometown and they hated her, and it felt very New York, like how we're all like Bill de Blasio boo.
No, that's interesting.
They were like, they were like,
oh, he's
boo.
The one that shouldn't have run,
because we were like, cool, your girl, and they were like, no, we hate her.
So this is Minneapolis.
Yeah, okay, it was just interesting. It's interesting to see these kind of, like, low, because you guys are like, oh, hometown hero Castro, like San Antonio, I'm so proud.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that flips and everyone's like, no, yeah. This person sucks. They've done nothing for us. And, like, we actually don't have hometown
hero.
The
de Blasio hatred is interesting. Because if you think about it, like, when he was elected in 2013, he was, like, the first national progressive official in some ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he kind of was, like, it was a really big deal that he had been elected in New York City.
And he's done a few good things. But it's all overshadowed by the fact that the subway, the number one thing anyone in New York cares about, doesn't work and he won't fix it. And whether or not that's his job to fix it or he can or whatever, let's not even get into that. He won't. Why won't he? He won't. Fix it. You know what I mean? Like, that's we are single issue voters here in New York.
I honestly,
in a way.
But I also think the Park Slope gym bothers a lot of people.
He's bad. Like, he's bad with people, you know? Like, he's mean and he talks down to people.
The shitty New York politician who would win, however... Cuomo. Because of Sandra Lee.
Sandra
that
Lee.
Wedding, semi-homemade wedding.
Oh my God.
Semi-homemade wedding, please. That's the only wedding that would beat Rosario Dawson and Cory Booker.
That
semi-homemade wedding.
It'd all be pound cake.
Like, he's a literal mobster, but, like, look at this semi-homemade wedding. She served her Kwanzaa cake and her Hanukkah cake and all of her disgusting cakes.
I mean, it's problematic. I don't really want to get into this, but what is interesting in relation to Who Weekly and what, you know, is that, like, Trump was a celebrity before he got elected. So, like, looking forward, it's almost like we are, like, who's the next celeb? Like, if we need a celebrity, Democratic. We have so many liberal celebrities. Why can't we get one in?
But,
you know?
Yeah. That's the Booker compromise. Trademark. That's what we're calling it. The Booker compromise is that he is not a celebrity, but his girlfriend
is. I think Bobby might
that's
be a Booker
the way
voter.
In.
I agree, though. I think that's smart because, like, I think one of the reasons why people told Beto to run is that they were like, well, you have that kind of, like, ephemeral quality, like, star quality that, like, you need now to, like, I mean, Barack Obama did have that in some ways, right? And, like, McCain tried to use it against him. He had that famous commercial where he's like, oh, you know, the voiceover was like, Obama's the biggest celebrity in the world. And they show, like, the Berlin Wall speech that he gave, or the Brandenburg Gate, whatever
right,
it
so,
is.
Right, so, like, that was great for Obama and then backfired on us immediately when we elected Trump, like, essentially.
But Booker is not like that. Yeah. Like, he's such a herb. Like, he's not, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not, like,
he's not cool.
He has not cool.
But he's
he
a great
none
speaker,
of the cool...
but he's not cool.
Rosario's cool. Cleo.
I know. Rosario's cool.
Rosario was in Kids.
She really is cool. She's so cool.
Oh, that movie's so stressful.
She's so cool.
She was also on Jane the Virgin. Yes. Which is probably how people know her now.
Yeah.
If you're like a young millennial, you know Rosario Dawson is the lawyer on Jane the Virgin.
Wasn't she in a bunch of... She was in...
I remember 25th Hour.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats. 25th Hour was a big one for me, like, in knowing her. But we were talking about her before, and she's one of those, like, people that you know, but you might not necessarily... If you were someone who was like, name the Rosario Dawson project that is, like, what it is, you'd be like, Rent? Like, I don't know, you know, like, what is the big one, you know? Anyways.
That was my... signal that we should go.
Well, we could do this forever.
We could do this forever. Was this any good? Did you two have fun?
Ugh, oh my god, yeah.
Okay, I mean, I like how we were just sort of like jamming the who them terminology into this like political discussion. But back to who them.
It works pretty well.
So I think it seems like, what is the consensus? Final thoughts, Claire, Cleo. Final thoughts. Which
is not enough.
Who's going to be the biggest them at the end of this campaign?
Oh, boy.
Of the Democrats.
Let's just say whatever you want.
Just say whatever you want.
Well, I was
going to
say, I think what I've learned is that there's not enough people running for president. We should have more.
Because then you can make more videos.
Yeah.
They'd be all good. They'd all be good.
Make more money. Ayo, freelancers.
Push out.
Biggest them in terms of like raising their, like I think Sanders was a them before campaign started.
What is the who to them story we're going to be talking about in 2 years?
I think it's a tie between Buttigieg and Harris.
Okay. Yeah.
I would agree and then add Williamson.
Mm-hmm. I think Williamson, because I think A Politics of Love, I don't think really popped off on the bestseller chart the way I expected it to. I checked it recently and it like wasn't there, but I feel like she's got another book in her that like
she should be on Instagram. I feel like all of that stuff is now like people don't necessarily write those books. They do like
Instagram.
She should become an influencer.
If my Instagram, if I get an alert that said Marianne Williamson is now live, I'm dropping everything.
She's the original influencer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Forgot.
I mean, for spirit.
Influencer for God.
What was she, like a bitch for Jesus?
A bitch for God. A bitch for God.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Claire and Cleo, for coming on the show today. Lindsay, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I'm even more confused than I was before.
Me too.
But more delighted.
The Booker Compromise, I think, is the way to go. And thank you.
Who Weekly does not endorse Booker?
No, we don't endorse anyone.
No, we like Warren.
We do like Warren. Warren's the queen.
I don't endorse anyone.
We've said this. We don't endorse anyone, but we do endorse Warren. And also, Booker, the caveat being, if there is a public wedding in October 2020. Thank you, Cleo and Claire, for coming. This was so much fun. This is the first episode of Says Who on Who Weekly. Hopefully there are more to come. We'll do like a sports. We'll do an anything. If you have a topic that you think that we are not experts on that we could use a couple experts on, we might do the next episode of Says Who on that topic. Until then, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Goodbye, everyone.
To be famous.